Welcome to the Regarding Leadership Podcast, a podcast around the table. In this podcast, we have conversations and content regarding leadership that is healthy and heartfelt, proven and practical for leaders who are actually leading. I'm your host, Ryan D.B. Kimmel, and I am blessed to have you with us. When it comes to working with people, pastoring a church, or just working in any system, we all need to realize that leadership is understanding that peace comes with a cost. Now, the church I get to lead is called Peace Church. And so, being our church's namesake, I feel an extra burden to be a peacemaker for our congregation and our staff. But over my time, I've come to learn the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacemonger. Now, those terms and that dichotomy is not original to me. I had felt this tension for a while, but I didn't have the language for it until I read the book, Canoeing the Mountains, Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory. And in chapter 13, Bolsinger, the author, who is also a pastor, he describes some changes that he wants to make as the leader at his church. Now, he talks about how he got a lot of affirmation from other leaders within the church that what he was doing was the right thing. But when it came time to vote and make the changes, no one stepped up. Reflecting on this, he cites a book by Edward Friedman, which talks about people being peacemongers. Bolsinger sums it up by saying, a peacemonger is the leader whose own high degree of anxiety leads him to prefer harmony to health. Did you catch that? As leaders, we cannot confuse harmony with health. It's like that scene in Avengers: Age of Ultron, when Thor, when he's trying to calm a situation, he says to Ultron, "If you believe in peace, then let us keep it." To which Ultron responds, "I think you're confusing peace with quiet." Now, to defend my man Thor, Thor is not afraid of a fight. In this scene, he was trying to keep people from getting hurt. But this does help to highlight what leaders need to discuss: the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacemonger. And so, let's talk about our call as Christians to be peacemakers and why it's unhealthy to be a peacemonger. Let's start by defining our terms. Peace, according to most English definitions, peace is the state of tranquility or harmony. Now, when it comes to the biblical notion of peace, we get two words in the Bible, one from the Old Testament Hebrew and one from the New Testament Greek. In the New Testament, the word for peace is eirene, and it basically has the connotation of when all essential parts are joined together. Then, back in the Old Testament, we have the very popular word for peace, and it's also a pact word, shalom. This word denotes the all-encompassing idea of well-being, wholeness, and soundness. So, when put together, biblically speaking, peace is the state of completeness, not just internally, but relationally between people, creation, and God. The call to be peacemakers is abundant in Scripture. Let me just give you some. Psalm 34, verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Romans 14, verse 19. So then, let us pursue for what makes for peace and mutual upbringing. In Galatians chapter 5, we see that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And also, the most famous of all comes from Jesus Christ himself, who said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So what does Jesus mean in his call for us to be peacemakers? So let's do two things. First, let's get into the biblical outline path for being a peacemaker. And then, to help drive this notion home, we'll then compare and contrast the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacemonger. But to truly understand the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacemonger, we first have to get our heads around the biblical path to being a peacemaker, which Jesus himself teaches us. Now, when it comes to being a biblical Christian, here's how I put it to our staff. A peacemaker is a person who seeks to make biblical peace by means of entering into the biblically outlined process of conflict resolution. And Jesus gives us the roadmap to confronting conflict peaceably, and it comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. Let me read it for you, and then we'll outline the steps. Here's what Jesus says. Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. If your brother sins against you, Go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Okay, so Jesus gives us here the epitome of a mature process to deal with conflict. Let's break it down step by step. Step one, when there's conflict, you are instructed by our Lord to have a conversation one-on-one with that person with whom you are in conflict. Now listen, Jesus is speaking about the regular rhythm of doing life together. This is not a mandate for women who have been horrendously abused to go and ask her abuser for an apology. He's saying, when there's an offense, don't go on and gossip about it, but try to resolve it like two mature adults. But if your one-on-one approach doesn't prove fruitful, don't just drop it and let things fester. There is a next step. Step two. If step one's one-on-one approach doesn't work, bring one or two others to join you and have the conversation again. This is where we rely on the power of friendship and realizing that you're not seeing eye to eye, so you bring in other perspectives to make sure that what's being said is not just accurate, but accurately understood. And if this still doesn't work, if things are this broken, then go on to step three. Step three. So if the one-on-one approach doesn't work, if the small group approach doesn't work, then bring it to the church, meaning an even larger body of Christians. The heart of this, I believe, is about bringing this out into the light, praying that the light may help expose the darkness of this brokenness so that there may be healing. Side note, Paul also says this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Again, Jesus wants unity and peace among his people, and if we don't address issues all the way through, then this just allows things to fester. This allows the devil to have a foothold, and it allows a cancer to form. The path of reconciliation that Jesus ascribes is about doing all that we can, not the least that we can. But if bringing it out into the open and involving the church, that is, a larger body of Christians, if that still doesn't bring resolution, then we go to the fourth and listen, the final step. If all previous steps do not resolve the issue, then Jesus is saying something very hard that takes a lot of emotional strength, that we need to realize that the relationship is over, but you are still to love them. And right there, that is the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacemonger. A peacemaker seeks peace, but can recognize when a breakdown of a relationship has happened. But a peacemonger won't face this truth and wants to act like nothing is wrong or wants to ignore it, preferring harmony to health, preferring quiet to peace. A peacemaker seeks to bring peace, but at times has to realize peace may not be happening. And this is opposed to the peacemonger who won't realize this or accept that peace has broken down. And a peacemonger wants to act like everything is okay and just sweep it under the rug. And listen, I get it. Jesus' path is hard. In many ways, it's easier to be a peacemonger and just act like everything is okay, but that's not the healthy path. And so, before we continue, let me just encourage you by reminding you of some great promises. First, remember, in Christ's culture, addressing, not avoiding conflict is part of the rhythm of Christian brotherhood, even if this means the ultimate dissolution of fellowship. Second, remember, if you seek to follow Christ's outlined path for addressing sin and conflict resolution, he promises to be with you. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." And don't forget, Jesus gives this promise in the context of conflict resolution. And third, remember that no matter what, we are commanded to forgive. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, "If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so, this is the hard but the healthy path of being a peacemaker that Jesus outlines. And so, you may be thinking to yourself, this is really hard. Maybe I am a peacemonger. Well, let's see what we mean by that. Now, peacemonger is a term that you can actually find in the dictionary, and here's what it says. It's a noun typically used disparagingly, and it means one making or seeking peace unrealistically or at the expense of honor. So here's how I put it to our staff. A peacemonger is a person who seeks to maintain the appearance of peace by the avoidance of necessary conflict, by ignoring the truth, or at the expense of long-term cultural health. We've already looked at the biblically outlined process for peacemaking and conflict resolution, but to make sure that we truly understand the difference between a peacemaker and a peacemonger, let's compare and contrast. Let's look at five ways of seeing and knowing the difference between being a peacemaker and a peacemonger. First is this: peacemongers choose quiet over Christ, but peacemakers choose Christ over quiet. We all do it. We often pair peace and quiet together. But sometimes to have peace, it doesn't happen through being quiet. Sometimes peace comes through confronting the issues, just like Jesus did. Jesus gives us the outline process for conflict resolution and peacemaking, but peacemongers choose quiet over Christ. But peacemakers choose the way of Christ over quiet, which leads nicely into the second contrast, that peacemongers choose avoidance of reconciliation, but peacemakers choose attempts at reconciliation. Peacemongers won't even engage the process of conflict resolution, hoping that things will just work themselves out, or they're fine with letting underlying attention just slowly and slowly grow. But on the flip, peacemakers will at least attempt to bring peace or engage in conflict resolution. But they do this as outlined by Christ in the passage that we just looked at. Which brings us to the third contrast. Peacemongers create a calm atmosphere of continual tension, but peacemakers enter into courageous awkwardness to alleviate tension. I think this one speaks for itself, but let me just add, I think we undervalue the courage that it takes to be a true peacemaker. At the church I lead, I've told our staff, we need to be engaging in courageous awkwardness, because that's what it takes at times to bring and to make peace. Because this isn't just about what's on the surface, it's about what's underneath, which brings us to the fourth contrast. Peacemongers care more about appearances than authenticity, but peacemakers care more about reconciliation than reputation. Many times, peacemongers stay peacemongers because they don't want anyone to think bad about them. And engaging in emotionally intelligent conflict resolution means laying your name and your heart on the line. And so, some people would rather stay being seen as simply a nice person than doing the hard work of peacemaking. And I'm sure that you can tell, this makes it hard for a peacemonger to also be in a leadership position. If you need people to like you all the time, leadership is not for you. But this brings us to the fifth difference that we'll look at. Peacemongers maintain unresolved conflict, but peacemakers make peace happen. It's so simple, but so true. Peacemongers are willing to keep the status quo, but peacemakers are willing to make changes to engage conflict resolution, even if it means having people be upset with them for a time, all within the pursuit of peace. So, as we look for not just direction, but also encouragement in all this, let's ask the question, was Jesus a peacemonger? And the answer is clearly no, of course not. And we see this because Jesus was willing to disturb the peace for a greater purpose. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Luke chapter 12, verse 51, Jesus says, "Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Now, all these have a context which we can dive into, but the reality is this: Christ was a peacemaker, not a peacemonger. Jesus was known for saying true words that would cause a stir. Jesus was willing to enter into public debate with religious leaders. And also, Jesus was constantly correcting his disciples and calling them out. These are all things that a peacemonger would never do. Jesus was not a peacemonger. And even more than that, Christ knew the cost of being a peacemaker. Jesus knew the cost, and he paid the price with his life. So let me leave you with an encouragement from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 14 to 19 says this: "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law and its commandments expressed in its ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Amen. Let me summarize this rich but beautiful passage. In verses 14 to 15, we see this: Jesus makes peace between people by abolishing the law. Then in verse 16, we see Jesus makes peace between people and God by dying on the cross. Then in verse 17, we see that Jesus makes peace because this was the embodiment of his message. And then in verses 18 and 19, we see this: Jesus makes peace by making all of us one family before God. And so in closing, let me say two things. May you remember and be encouraged by this: peacemaking does come with a cost, but it's all worth it because true peace is priceless. And the second thing is this: if we're going to be a healthy leader, if we're going to lead like Jesus, then we need to be peacemakers, not peacemongers.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone today. You can follow Regarding Leadership and find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Regarding Leadership is brought to you by Round the Table, a ministry of Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan.